evening, everybody. Welcome back to Spirits and Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Thomas Ahrens.
And I'm Carly Bird.
Week 78. We are almost to 100 episodes. We're not going to get to 100 episodes quite by this Halloween unless we do some doubling up. But I think if we're consistent from here to the Halloween season, I think we're going to have, make it this year. I really hope. It would be kind of cool if we make it this year. Definitely we'll make it by 2024, hopefully. And we'll have some really good Halloween episodes because, you know, we're here in like late July, early August, and the leaves are going to be starting to change in here soon, guys. September and October, guys. It is the Halloween season, and it's close. It's really close, which means we get to start doing some prep for some really cool shows, and maybe I'll ingest some things for the Halloween episode. Who knows? What? We'll just see. We'll do something. We'll do something fun.
That would be special for me.
Or I'll just drink some alcohol, and then we won't read a scary story. It'll just be The Cat in the Hat or something crazy like that.
That would be amazing.
But anyway, just to kind of get into this special episode, as always, before we get into today's tale or today's backstory and tale, we're going to start with scary things in the news. So to begin with the theme for today, this is a neat little article I found in
Higgy Pop.
The Higgy Pop. UK's haunted road hotspots have been revealed through new data analysis with
Wiltshire.
Thank you. Wiltshire. I was like, oh no. No. I was doing so good.
Wait.
And then I just saw a ghost. It's like, oh. Wiltshire ranked number one in a hellish highways top 10. Great wordplay there. Vehicles lease from Select Car Leasing delve into 20 years worth of informed held by leading supernatural websites that collect reports of spooky goings on across the UK. That's a hell of a sentence. Paranormal database found by author and radio host Darren Mann has been logging British supernatural reports since 2003. And it's celebrating its 20th anniversary. Tom Reed was on the page. And we'll get into this. So here are the interesting roads that are the most haunted in Great Britain. Carly, take it away.
Can you zoom in a little? Thank you.
Okay. Carly, read these first.
Number one, Wiltshire at 59. Two is Yorkshire at 54.
We should probably say this part. The top 10 UK counties.
Wow. Can you just stop talking? Top 10 UK counties for haunted road reports. The number of reported ghost sightings on roads listed by the paranormal database per county. Number one is Wiltshire at 59. Two is Yorkshire at 54. Three is Dorset at 52. Four is Essex at 44. Five is Kent at 42. Six is Suffolk at 42. Seven is Norfolk at 39. Eight is Somerset at 39. There's more, but Tom's got to scroll down.
No, there's only the top 10.
Went to eight. Number nine is Sussex at 38. Number 10 is Lincolnshire at 33.
So, and then again, this is the number of reported ghost sightings on roads listed by the paranormal database per county. Mr. Mann, whose website documented all things paranormal, included UFOs, this is what I love, werewolves, ooh, and out-of-place big cats. Now, what I love about that last statement is he's not talking about a panther, possibly. It's just a fat cat.
Or bobcat.
In Britain,
just out-of-place large cat. You should honestly be reading all of this with an accent.
Go for it. Finish one sentence, please.
He reveals in total 1,087 of my records relate to road hauntings, be they black demonic dog encounters, vanishing jaywalkers, or phantom highwaymen. My database comprises of 14,060 records, so 7.7% of all collected paranormal events to date happen to be road ghost related.
As always, link in the chat to the article that we just talked about there. How's that for a segue? That was actually really fucking good. That was impressive.
Thank you.
It's like, not Claudian Leviosa, Leviosa. That was really good, Hermione. I'm proud of you for that. And as you guys can tell, like, that's the theme today is roads and haunted highway attractions.
Road construction and dead people.
She loves her accents. It's gotten you into some hot water, hasn't it?
Let's do it. Crikey!
We're going to be insulting our fans here, probably. Maybe we'll do a section at the end where she reads off some of the comments. But anyway, we're going to be talking about the history of roads. And, you know, to determine the absolute oldest roads with certainty, it can be challenging, as roads have been constructed and used by civilizations for thousands of years. Many ancient civilizations built roads to facilitate trade, transportation, and communication. And here's just some old ones for an example. Egypt. The ancient Egyptians constructed an extensive network of roads, some of which date back to around 2600 BCE. The Mesopotamians, 2000 BCE. And then you get into like the Indians, the Greeks, the Romans, China, Italy. And then you think of Great Britain and the United States. Now, fun fact is the United States and all their highways. As of my last knowledge, and this is, I'm going based off data on like 2021, the United States was reported to have the most extensive road network in the world, with over 4.18 million miles, approximately 6.71 miles, kilometers of public roads. The vast road network in the United States is a result of the large land area, extensive infrastructure development, and the importance of road transportation in the country. It's worth noting that road networks can change over time due to construction, expansion, and other factors. Therefore, it's possible that road networks of other countries have increased over time since this last data survey. A lot of these roads are not even major roads, and then it comes into the definition of what a road is.
Is it paved?
Is it gravel? Things like that.
I don't need the definition of a road.
But it's important because when you think of a train track or something like that, you can have one main train track going through, that's Albuquerque, just came to mind. That's the main thoroughfare. It's going to get a lot of traffic. But roads, some roads that were put in 10, 50, 20 years ago, they might just be dilapidated. There's nothing that happens on them. And so what's unique about a road system versus a train track is the amount of, pun intended, traffic that place will get. You're going to have some roads that are just isolated. Granted, some railroad systems are going to have the isolation factor too, but the difference about that is the idea that when you're in a car, you have the independence to go down these roads and you're completely isolated. If you're on a train track in the middle of nowhere, there's a great chance the only way you're going to get there is if you're on a train. And if you're on a train, you're probably going to have you, about 30 to 40 other people working. You have connection right now, if it's 2023, with satellites, all that other crap. But if you're in your Volkswagen and you're going to your pappy's house, you could go down a back road somewhere that no one lives on. And if you break down, you are completely isolated. And that's so interesting to think about. Like, this is a transportation system where even in the United States, and a lot of stuff does take place in the United States, you can be in the monks of sea of no man's land. Mm-hmm. And that's so interesting to me. And this kind of also ties back into our Appalachia stuff. You have places in Appalachia specifically, and also out west in the deserts, where you get lost on that road and you run out of gas, or you don't have a full tank before you get onto that road, you can be screwed. Because not only could you not get gas, this is a big one nowadays, guys, you might not have cell service.
Yeah. You know what this makes me think of?
What?
Whenever we went to Mackroft's Haunted Forest, and there's like that one specific road that we have to drive down to get there.
Yes,
and it kind of feels like we're out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird because it doesn't matter what time of day we're traveling on that road. It always feels like we're the only car there.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's just pitch black and the trees just line the road and it's barely wide enough for two vehicles, even though there's like a line down the center of it. That's exactly what that reminds me of. It's like any haunted thing you could just totally imagine happening on that road, which is so creepy, especially like on your way back after you've been to Mackroft's Haunted Forest and it's like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and you're driving home and it's just like you're on a road. It just, you feel like you're utterly alone. Even though everybody's leaving at the same time, it still feels like you're the only car on the road somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it is. And that just, I don't know, that to me is fascinating. And then you can have lore that develops.
Yeah.
And as we talked ad nauseum on so many of our episodes, like how lore builds over time, depending on what tribe you're a part of. And then all of a sudden it creates this its own life. But then you really wonder, do these places have memories? Does this place have energy that's trapped there? If somebody dies a horrible death in a car accident, it wasn't their time. can those moments actually hold a spirit or maybe memories? And that really is kind of our precursor to this about the roads and stuff, and like how you have these things that we take for granted nowadays because everyone uses them, but like how scary they can be.
Well, what were they back then? And think of all the most tragic things that happened. Mm-hmm. And remember how we talked about literally wherever tragic things happen or severe deaths take place, that's where the spirits typically cling.
And the idea, like, there's so many roads that are so, like, Berkeley Springs has been around since George Washington, right? So a lot of those roads have just been repaved over. So, like, people have probably tread those things forever.
Yeah.
But anyway, that gets us into today's tale.
All right, everyone. Prepare yourselves for the tale of the Ortega Highway in San Juan, California. Also known as Highway 74 or Route 74, the Ortega Highway in California is a beautiful road that winds through the mountains with chilling hairpin turns. The path cutting through the mountains has been likened to a spaghetti noodle, making it quite a dangerous road. However, there is far more to this road than physical dangers. There is one point along the twisting road that has a reputation for very, very strange occurrences. At that point, on the side of the road is a business, Quest Diagnostics. The business is a medical laboratory that is as normal as any business. However, what's unusual about the location of the business is what happens during the dark hours of night. Once you finish with this chapter, you'll be wondering about the history of that site. The Clown. Imagine you are driving down Ortega Highway late at night, nearing Quest Diagnostics. You are preoccupied with the concerns of the day, but carefully focus on the road ahead of you because you know this can be a tricky drive at night. As you near the site of Quest Diagnostics, you happen to spot a figure standing by one of the streetlights. An uneasy feeling settles over you as you squint a bit to try to see this person better. As you draw a bit closer, you realize it's a clown. You aren't one to normally be afraid of clowns. Sure, you've seen the horror movies and television series that feature a horrific, murderous clown, but other than that, they don't bother you. At least not normally. That's why you can't understand the terror that begins to grow as you draw nearer to the streetlight beneath which he stands, watching you and not moving a muscle. As you draw nearer, the fear builds, but at the same time, the figure of the clown seems to begin disappearing, almost like a mirage. Once you pass the streetlight, he is completely gone. In a few moments, the fear has gone too. You shake your head as if to shake off the strange encounter you just had, but make a mental note not to watch any more clown movies. Mm-hmm. Many people have encountered this clown apparition. Some brave souls have tried to approach him on foot. They say that as they draw nearer, it was like he got further away, but without walking. Then he vanished. While he seems to have never harmed anyone through his appearances, either directly or indirectly, he still causes inexplicable horror to those who catch sight of him, even those who normally aren't bothered by clowns. Psychics investigating the area have indicated he is a very evil entity that, given the opportunity, would cause death. Something seems to hold him back, however. Note that everyone who has seen him has also described his disappearance in terms of fading mirages, which is rather interesting. His identity has not yet been determined. And that was the tale of the Ortega Highway in San Juan, California. I also have another one.
That was creepy.
I felt as
though... I don't like clowns.
Oh, clowns freak me out. Just makes me think of It.
Yeah, that's remember probably that one of the clown scare that happened a couple of years ago?
Yes. You mean like with like the clown sightings?
People literally dressing up trying not to get shot.
Well, people dressing up as clowns and then like attacking other people in the woods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they literally had guns and knives and stuff. They were shooting people and stabbing that's people.
Not good.
With knives. Like straight up in the woods, there'd be people out hiking like just regular CNO, whatever, hiking, Appalachian Trail. And these people would pop out like three or four, five with clown masks on and have knives and just run up and like stab these people and like run off. It's just the weirdest shit.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's
it's just freaks.
So what's the next one you got for us?
Anyway, so I just felt like this one went right along with our whole clown theme because the clown made me think of it and then it made me think of the kids. All right. So the next one is Sweet Hollow Road in New York. Sweet Hollow Road is a much shorter stretch of road than any discussed thus far. It is located on Long Island, New York, in one of the older areas in colonial history in the United States. For some reason, this area seems to harbor and attract a variety of ghosts. Oddly enough, there is a road running parallel to it, Mount Misery Road, which also has its fair share of hauntings that go back hundreds of years. Put yourself in the place of a young man driving down Sweet Hollow Road in the late evening. Just as the sun is beginning to set, your mind is still pretty sharp and you're quite relaxed as you head home after a long day of work. That's when you see some kids walking along the side of the road and up ahead of you. There's something that seems off, but you can't quite put your finger on it. Maybe it's because you expect to see an adult with them, given their young age and the late hour. The group seems to be all kids, though. Your curiosity is piqued, and you slow down a bit to get a better look at them. Something about them just doesn't seem to click. That's when you realize they are all dressed in Depression-era clothing. They look like something from an old newspaper, or maybe an old movie. On top of that, you can't imagine anywhere a group of young children like this would be headed to this time of day. Without adult supervision at that. As you bring your car to a halt to get an even better view of the motley crew of kids, they vanish before your eyes. During the 1930s, there was a children's day camp along Sweet Hollow Road. All was not well at this camp, however. Some of the children were abused, and it was believed a few children were killed. Their spirits, it would seem, refused to remain at rest. Many people have spotted a small group of kids dressed in period clothing walking along the road as if headed to a specific destination. Before anyone can get too close to them, they disappear from sight. Are they still headed to the day camp where perhaps their lives or innocence were lost? And that was the tale of the Sweet Hollow Road in New York.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's so creepy, but it is.
It is, especially knowing that it's just like really, really young kids, probably like 5 or 6 years old. And you see like these mirages of kids or like ghosts of children in really old time clothing.
What would you do in that situation?
Well, I mean, if I saw them fade in front of my eyes, I'd be like, I gotta go get a drink.
What was the scariest thing that ever happened to you on a road?
Scariest thing that ever happened to me on a road. I gotta think. I've seen car accidents happen like right in front of me. So I was on my way to work one day and I was on 81 and literally, so it's kind of scary. But it's not ghostly. So there was this semi and it had just started to rain and there was a semi in front of me. This semi truck literally starts hydroplaning straight up in front of me. We're going like 70 miles an hour down the road and the whole back end of this truck just takes up the entire road in front of me as I just like slam on the brakes. They're just like cruising along and their trailers following them literally beside like the cab of the truck, right? Going down 70 miles an hour. Somehow it did not start rolling and it just went right back in line and kept going down the street. And it happened right in front of me. I never knew how I was alive after that. I was like, okay, there's no way that this shouldn't be happening. Like they shouldn't still be driving down the road. They should be dead. Right?
I have a story about a road, but okay. I'm going to let you tell that story I just sent you first.
Okay.
And then I'll tell this one. And then we'll
Wrap it up.
I'll finish up with my tale.
You have a tale too?
No, like my hand encounter. My scary red story.
The Haunting of a Shadow Hollow Road. Once nestled in the tranquil countryside, Shallow Hollow Road was a scenic route that wound its way through dense woods and overgrown meadows. In the daytime, it was a picturesque path enjoyed by locals and travelers alike. However, as the sun dripped below the horizon, the road transformed into a desolate and eerie stretch. Legend spoke of a tragic incident that had taken place here years ago. A family traveling along Shadow Hollow Road on a stormy night had met a horrifying fate. Their car skidded off the slippery road, crashing into a gnarled tree. Despite the rescue efforts, none survived. Ever since that fateful night, it was said that the spirits of the deceased family haunted the road, forever trapped in the ethereal realm.
Ethos.
In the ethereal realm. Few dared to drive the road after dark. Stories circulated about strange apparitions glimpsed through the mist, eerie whispers that echoed among the trees, and headlights that flickered inexplicably. Each tale added to the road's chilling reputation, making it a subject of intrigue for thrill seekers and paranormal enthusiasts. Among the curious souls who sought adventure, there was a group of friends, Emma, Ryan, Sarah, and Jake. Wow. They were drawn to the road's haunted history, and one foggy autumn evening, they decided to test their courage and explore the legendary Shadow Hollow Road. As they entered the road, the atmosphere grew tense, and a sense of unease enveloped them. The dim headlights barely penetrated the dense fog, and the path ahead seemed to stretch into infinity. Nevertheless, they pressed on, with their nervous laughter attempting to mask their fear. As they ventured deeper, strange occurrences plagued them. The car radio emitted garbled voices and eerie tunes, even though the music station displayed as normal. Shadows danced in the periphery, and the temperature inside the car plummeted, causing visible puffs of breath. Ryan, the daredevil of the group, decided to turn off the headlights momentarily to heighten the spooky experience. Sounds like something Tom would do. However, as he did so, a chilling sight emerged from the darkness. The figure of a woman in a tattered white dress appeared in the middle of the road. Her hollow eyes seemed to pierce their souls. Panicking, Ryan quickly switched the headlights back on, only to find the apparition had vanished. Friends were unnerved,
yeah,
and doubts about their adventure began to creep in.
Damn it, Ryan.
Sarah suggested turning back, but curiosity and a desire for excitement urged them to keep going.
Or death wish.
Mm-hmm. Their fear escalated when the car suddenly stalled, leaving them stranded in the heart of Shallow Hollow Road. As they attempted to restart their engine, they heard eerie whispers outside, the disembodied voices of the spirits haunting the area. Fear gripped their hearts as they felt an unseen presence drawing closer. Just as they were about to give in to despair, a faint glow emanated from the woods. The figure of a young girl appeared before them, surrounded by an ethereal aura. Unlike the previous apparition, she exuded a sense of melancholy rather than malevolence. The girl spoke with a haunting voice, recounting the tragic tale of her family's demise on that very road. They had been wandering in the fog, disoriented and lost, when the accident occurred. Her restless spirit, along with her family's, could never find peace. As the friends listened, empathy filled their hearts, and they realized that these spirits were not vengeful, but merely seeking solace and release. They asked the girl if there was anything they could do to help her and the family find peace. The girl explained that a long-lost locket, a precious family heirloom, had been lost during the accident. It was the key to freeing their souls for their eternal torment. With newfound determination, the friends set out to find the locket and provide the closure these spirits desperately needed. Through a harrowing journey into the depths of the haunted woods, they eventually found the locket buried beneath the roots of the gnarled tree that had claimed the family's lives. As they retrieved it, a soft, otherworldly glow enveloped them, and the spirits appeared once more. With tears in her eyes, the girl thanked them, and with the locket clasped in her ethereal hand, she and her family dissipated into the night, finally finding peace. From that day forward, the hauntings on Shadow Hollow Road ceased, and the once terrifying stretch transformed into a place of peace and tranquility. The legend of the road still lingered, but now it was known as a tale of compassion and bravery, reminding everyone that even in the darkest places, there is a glimmer of hope and a chance for redemption.
It's a good story. That is something interesting to me. Everyone always makes ghosts scary. Is everything like, maybe there's not like, I'm not saying like Casper the Friendly Ghost, but like, they're not insidious.
Not all of them.
And I think, like, did Supernatural ever get into that?
Yeah.
I don't, like, I always remember, like, when they shoot them with, like, the rock salt, but I never remember, like, was there a ghost that wasn't bad?
There was tons of ghosts that weren't bad.
Okay, yeah, because I think that's an interesting thing.
They had, like, 15 seasons. They've got to have a couple ghosts in there and they're not bad.
Five seasons, but yeah, I agree. Yeah, I just think it's so interesting. Like, oh, yeah, I think it's going to be, like, scary, but then it's like, no, they're just lost souls. And right. God, that is so true. So when I was a wee lad, it was a really, really, it was a blizzard. And I went over to a friend's house. I think his name is Seth. I went over to his house. And this is when we were living at the farm in Percival. And the snow is bad. And so my parents dropped me off in the morning. And it started to snow. And it already snowed. I'll preface this by, it already snowed a little bit the last two or three days. So there's already like some decent amount of snow on the ground. They dropped me off at the truck, whatever. And this was an El Nino year. This was one of those years where it snowed so much, the world shut down. Like you didn't really take your trucks out. The roads were not plowed for like a day or two after this. Well, while it's snowing like this, I've been over at my friend's house all day and I just refused to come home because we're having such really good, jolly old time. And then I made the boneheaded decision. And I'll blame the Garlands because they let me do this. All right, you know, I'm just going to walk home. You know, the roads are completely shut down. It's a full moon. It'll be okay. And so I start walking back, and it's about duskish time, but it's still snowing. I have my phone in a little plastic bag too, so it doesn't get wet because, you know, it's smart. And the roads are semi-paved.
What year is this?
I was young. Let's just say that.
Right. Did you even have cell phones back then?
It was a flip phone. It was a Razor.
Okay.
Dated myself there. But anyway, so like the main roads are kind of plowed in the sense where it's like, it's just a white sheet of snow, block snow, but then that's about it. Anyway, so it's just that. And like, it's no problem. I can walk this way all the way back. It's no big deal. I'm just going to do that. Because my parents were like, oh, we're not going to pick you up. And it's like, fine. So I do this. I walk all the way. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take the highway. That's stupid. I'm going to take the back road. So I get all the way to the back road. Get to the back road, turn. 4 feet of snow. Not plowed. So I walked from this one town off into this little back road because I thought it'd be quicker. And I get to it. And it's like, it's literally up to like above my knee with snow. All the way. And I'm just a split second. And this is, again, I was young. So it's like testosterone and everything. I would do this. So I hop into it. And then it really hits me as I'm trudging through this. Like, this is tiring. This is really tiring. And so I keep trudging through this. And I'm not going to say it felt like halfway for the story narrative. We'll just say it was like halfway. And then by this time, it's like my legs are cramping and I'm exhausted. And the thing was, I don't know why the snow was getting deeper as I went down this road. Turns out what happened is I started to get off the road a little bit into one of the ditches. I just didn't know that because it's all white. And so you see, like, if you guys know, like, old country roads, you usually have trees that come up to it. And then you have an embankment like this on either side. And then you have the road. The snow is so thick, it's just straight across. Mm-hmm. And so you can't tell where anything is. And so maybe I could, but the point was, I was getting frozen. I couldn't feel my feet. I just had some jeans on at this point and some boots, but I wore like two or three socks that day. And I was getting tired. And I told my parents, I called them, and my phone, it's another issue, my phone was starting to get too cold. to work. And I remember pulling that thing up there and being like, I might be in trouble here. I'm freezing. I don't know how much further I have to go. And I didn't realize they called me like once or twice, but my phone was so cold. I just didn't feel the vibe. I didn't feel it vibrate. Or maybe it's because mine was too cold, but I didn't feel it vibrate. They're like, where are you? Or you're not at the Garlands. They said, you went to walk home. And it's like, yeah. But then they're like, but the back road's not plowed. It's like, I know it's not plowed. I'm like on it. It's like, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And it just didn't really hit me at that point. But then it's like a little bit later on, it's like, it's pitch black out on this back road. And all that you have, and this was the most eerie thing about it, is you had a full moon that night and there's some cloud cover. And so the moon would shine through all these trees and hit the snow. And it just illuminated everything in shadows. It was really freaky as hell. And this is a place that have a lot of wildlife too. And it is terrifying when you're out there alone, because first off, it's dead quiet. But then every now and then you hear it. And you look and you see shadows.
Right.
And it's a deer.
Right.
Or a squirrel or something like that. And it's eerie. And then all of a sudden a cloud would go right in front of the moon and then it just lights off.
So how did you make it? How did you survive?
How are you here? I jumped over a tree because there was a tree that fell down on the road.
Okay.
And so I had to like cross this thing. I crossed the tree, got to their side, hopped down, and my legs gave out. And I just sat there for a little bit and I took a nap. I felt like it was forever.
You fell asleep.
I closed my eyes because my legs were cramping so bad. So I stretched my eyes and just lay here for a minute. And then I was just like, I had this weird moment of like
hypothermia.
No, I was cold, but not that cold. But it was this weird moment of like, I told myself like, just rest for a minute, you'll be fine. And maybe everyone else has experienced at home, like when you're tired. And like you're telling yourself you just want to rest your eyes for a minute, but then like it hits you like you're about to pass out and like you were like super tired. You ever know that when you try to take a nap?
Yeah.
You're like this and you're like, oh, I can't fall asleep yet. And like I had that moment. I remember that to this day. It's like I had that moment of like, oh shit, I almost fell asleep. And then something told me, do not fall asleep next to this tree in the middle of a snowstorm in the middle of a gravel road. And it was such a weird jolt that I remember like, do not fall asleep. Call your parents, put them on speaker, and talk to them through this thing. And I finally convinced them. It's like they got the tractor and they drove the tractor up to this road to meet me at the other side. And they said they'll turn on the high beams and wait for me. They said if it gets really bad, let us know. Cause like we can't, the tractor, the snow is really high. The tractor couldn't even
get there. The tractor can only get so far, right?
Yeah. So it's like we can only get so far, but we can meet you here. But otherwise, unless you want us to call the search team, like you gotta. So I slugged my way through there. I'm super cold. I get to this little gully because again, it's all snow. I didn't see that there's a creek, and I fell into the creek. At this point, I got into the creek. I think I got it all the way up to my waist, in just water. And then at this point, I am shivering.
Why are you in the creek?
Because I couldn't see it. It was glazed over with ice. And there was just fresh snow on it. And everything was the same height.
So you didn't know where you were?
I was on the road, but there's a drainage that goes. There's a creek that runs right across the road, right next to the road, and then it feeds into a bigger creek. Well, all that's just fresh snow.
Okay.
And so I was here walking on the side of the road, I think is where it was. I wasn't on the main part of the road. And I took too many steps to the left, I think it was. And then boom, I'm just in the water. And it's like this much water. But it was enough when I tripped and I fell that one whole side of my body gets just soaked in water. Stood up. And then the rest of the thing, I just remember just shivering so hard as I kept crouching. And then this one was when I got eerie. I don't know if it was my delirium or something like that, but it looked something like this thing here almost without the horns. But I always felt like something was watching me at that point. It was creepy as fuck. Now, I told myself what it was. Is earlier, I saw a bunch of deer. And because that was things like every time you like walk through the snow, you hear this like, which that's a deer snorting. And then you hear them and they go and they prance off. But then this thing, like it just was there. It didn't make noises. It was just there. And it was so weird because like I always thought it was like some kind of shadow. Some kind of goosebumps, guys. It was like, I thought it was like some kind of shadow. I told myself it was a deer or it's like some kind of shadow because of the moon. And then once this cloud passed over the moon and the silhouette was still there, and I was like fucking wired for sound. At that point, it's like the shivering didn't matter anymore. It was so weird. I remember like I was always worried about the cold and how cold it was. And then it was like,
wait for you to pass out.
I love it. And she's my wife. But it's like, it was just this weird shapeless thing behind the trees. But I just remember, like, I always say it was like a shadow, it was an effect. But as soon as the cloud passed in front of the moon and it got dark, but I could still see the silhouette of something.
Will you disagree? You don't think it was a Grim Reaper waiting for you to die?
I don't know what it was. It could have been a Wendigo. It could have been anything. But I just remember I was
terrified. It's just like Puss in Boots with a wolf.
I was terrified. And I get to my parents.
I finally
get to them. They hop me on the tractor, drive. I'm cold and being chastised. Well-deserved, all this stuff. Get to the house. They strip the layers off. My feet are like almost a different color at this point. I don't have like frostbite, but they're like cold. They throw me in a bathtub, I guess. Bathtub. Throw cold water on me, get me back. I was sick for a couple of days after that. The dumbest thing ever. But I remember like those two things. There's like one moment where I was just like laying on my back a little bit, like on the snow, sprawled out, because I'm just letting my feet rest. And then it was like, I was literally like a second away from going to sleep. And that jolt in your brain is like, you do not fall asleep right now. You just don't. I didn't even think dying. It was just do not fall asleep. And I got back up. But then I was thinking about the shivering. I kept seeing that thing behind me. I kept thinking about it. And I remember staring at it and shivering. And as soon as my brain was like, that's something. And I remember that thought. And all of a sudden, it's like, I am no longer cold. I'm getting back to this fucking car right now. And I almost thank. Panic. Yeah. It's just like, I almost thank both those things for like not making the situation worse, because it's like, well, first off, yeah, if I fell asleep really bad, but then like.
Are there no houses that you could knock on and be like, hey, I'm going to die if I don't.
There is a lot of houses, but they're back up all these windy roads. And I was a young kid. I was like, just get home. And again, this was one of the years that we had a shit ton of snow. I'm talking, it was super high. And it was worse is like, I don't think that place was paved from the last 2 days we had snow. Because it was like 3 days in a row we had snow. We had two light flurries, mm-hmm. which was like 2 or 3 inches, and then we got dumped on. Gotcha. I don't think that was plowed.
Gotcha.
And so like I just remember, yeah, those two moments. Those were the two moments that stick with. I think we all have the scary moments in our life that we don't know. Something will trigger us to remember those things. Like, there's the psychological damage from my childhood. Yep, I remember that fear.
Yeah.
But it never leaves you. But for some reason tonight with the rose and stuff, it popped that in there. It's like, yeah. Do not fall asleep. And that is a real thing. It's not a shadow. And I'm not cold anymore. I'm getting the fuck out of here. And with that said, guys, we're going to end this week of Spirits and Ghost Stories. We'll see you next time. Bye.